Part 1. The Lord Advocate. Chapter 1. A Beggar on Horseback. The 25th day of August, 1751, about 2 in the afternoon, I, David Balfour, came forth of the British Linen Company, a porter attending me with a bag of money, and some of the chief of these merchants bowing me from their doors. 2 days before, and even so late as yester morning, I was like a beggar man by the wayside, clad in rags, brought down to my last shillings, my companion a condemned traitor, a price set on my own head for a crime with the news of which the country rang. Today I was served heir to my position in life, a landed laird, a bank porter by me carrying my gold, recommendations in my pocket, and, in the words of the saying, the ball directly at my foot. There were two circumstances that served me as ballast to so much sail. The first was the very difficulty and deadly business I had still to handle. The second, the place that I was in. The tall, black city and the numbers and movement and noise of so many folk made a new world for me after the moorland braes, the sea sands, and the still countrysides that I had frequented up to then. The throng of the citizens in particular abashed me. Rankeillor's son was short and small in the girth. His clothes scarce held on me, and it was plain I was ill qualified to strut in the front of a bank porter. It was plain if I did so I should but set folks laughing, and, what was worse in my case, set them asking questions, so that I behooved to come by some clothes of my own, and in the meanwhile to walk by the porter's side and put my hand on his arm, as though we were a pair of friends. As a merchant in the Luckan booths, I had myself fitted out, none too fine, for I had no idea to appear like a beggar on horseback, but comely and responsible, so that servants should respect me. Thence to an armourer's, where I got a plain sword, to suit with my degree in life. I felt safer with the weapon, though, for one so ignorant of defence, it might be called an added danger. The porter, who was naturally a man of some experience, judged my accoutrement to be well chosen. "Naething can speckle," said he. "Plain, decent clays. As for the rapier, nae doubt it sits wi' your degree. But an I'd been you, I would ha' wed Mesilla better gates than that." And he proposed I should buy winter hosen from a wife in the Cowgate back, that was a cousin of his own, and made them extraordinary and durable. But I had other matters on my hand more pressing. Here I was in this old black city, which was for all the world like a rabbit warren, not only by the number of its indwellers, but the complication of its passages and holes. It was indeed a place where no stranger had a chance to find a friend, let be another stranger. Suppose him even to hit on the right clothes. People dwelt so thronged in these tall houses he might very well seek a day before he chanced on the right door. The ordinary course was to hire a lad they called a caddy, who was like a guide or pilot, led you where you had occasion, and, your errands being done, brought you again where you were lodging. But these caddies, being always employed in the same sort of services, and having it for obligation to be well informed of every house and person in the city, had grown to form a brotherhood of spies, and I knew from tales of Mr. Campbell's how they communicated one with another, what a rage of curiosity they conceived as to their employer's business, and how they were like eyes and fingers to the police. It would be a piece of little wisdom, the way I was now placed, to tack such a ferret to my tales. I had 3 visits to make, all immediately needful. To my kinsman, Mr. Balfour of Pilrig, to Stuart, the writer that was Appin's agent, and to William Grant, Esquire of Preston Grange, Lord Advocate of Scotland. Mr. Balfour's was a non-committal visit, and besides, Pilrig being in the country, I made bold to find the way to it myself with the help of my 2 legs and a Scots tongue. But the rest were in a different case. Not only was the visit to Appin's agent, in the midst of the cry about the Appin murder, dangerous in itself, but it was highly inconsistent with the other. I was like to have a bad enough time of it with my Lord Advocate Grant, the best of ways. But to go to him hot foot from Appin's agent was little likely to mend my own affairs and might prove the mere ruin of friend Allen's. The whole thing besides gave me a look of running with the hare and